Hands up.
You're listening to the Online Blog Podcast.
It's Alice.
And Addie.
And today we will be dissecting Season 1, Episode 1, titled Chapter 1. So make sure you watch roughly half the episode and you're ready to dive in deep with us. Spoiler warning, we will be pulling information from other episodes, so if you haven't watched all three seasons, you have been warned.
Season 1, Episode 1 starts off in a stereotypical high school party with the drinking, the smoking, the making out, and that is where we meet the four main characters, or the core four.
So first we have Monse. She's the only girl of the group, and she is very sassy, and she's not afraid to speak her mind. Kind of like someone I know.
And next we meet Jamal, who is very, very afraid of death.
And like me.
And his death, or his fear of death, comes specifically from playing football, where his dad made it big, and he feels like he has to join the team. Which, we can tell, he's afraid of.
Okay, so next we have Ruby. And I like to call him Short Straw, because he's very short, shortest of the group. And I would say he's the most rational one out of the other three.
And finally, who comes up later, a little bit later, like 30 seconds, is Caesar, who brings alcohol. Bad influence right from the start.
We will get into that in a second.
He's the little brother of a gang leader.
His nickname is apparently Spooky, which kind of a weird name.
Yeah, we don't know him yet. But, you know, it's kind of tell, we can kind of tell by the people who are trying to choke Ruby to death, you know, when they stop and they're like, hey, that's Spooky's little brother. Sorry,
the way
brother.
You said it was funny.
Choke Ruby to death. Yes. But anyway, he unintentionally, with his name in the gang, he saves Ruby from a short-lived life, like his body. And yeah, and he's kind of a bad influence. I can predict that things aren't going to go well because of his ties with the gang. But yeah, that's Caesar for you.
So as the episode moves on, we then see the core four in Ruby's house, and we also see Mario, who is Ruby's older brother. He is arguing with his girlfriend, apparently, whose name is Angelica, and he's pleading with her. And eventually he comes in extremely high, crying, and giving life advice that no one asked for.
And the one advice he stresses to the group is that they need to stay together, and more importantly, don't bone Monse. That's to the other... It's to the other people in the group. I don't think Monse can do it. But anyway. And everyone, you know, they share a laugh about it. But after Jamal and Ruby leave, Mario leaves, of course, Caesar and Monse are sitting on the couch. And Caesar gives Monse a black little notebook for writing camp she's going to that summer. And he's like, oh, he says, and I quote, I forgot the quote.
An old school letter or two for your favorite?
Yes, he says that. So, flash forward to the end of the summer, and Monse's back from writing camp, and her braces are gone. And
there are some very, very perverted people on the streets. Like, come on, people, she's a girl.
Just get your minds out of the gutter. Spooky, or Oscar, Caesar's older brother, who's the leader of the gang, apparently gets out of jail. So he's introduced to the core four. But Monse comes back from camp
And then she goes to Ruby's house, where he is very excited about getting his own room, which I would be too if I basically spent my whole life sharing a room with an older brother who gets high and gives life advice. I'd definitely be happy to have my own room.
Yes, Mario goes off to college, and Ruby gets his own room, which he's remaking with Jamal. Monse comes over to their house, and she's like, where's Caesar? Where's Caesar? Because Caesar's not part of the group. And their only response is, Caesar's dead to us. And, you know, being the type of person she is, she's pestering them to understand, where's Caesar? Where's Caesar? What happened?
Which and they're mean, not going to tell like her. Anyone would do that if, like, you were in a really tight friend group like they are. And they even say, like, they've been friends since fourth grade. Obviously, you'd want to know where your friend disappeared to.
Yes. And not really disappeared, but why they aren't hanging out with them.
Yeah.
So it's the end of the summer and they're going to an orientation and we meet another character, Jasmine.
Oh boy, who, do I have a lot to say about her?
I can tell she's annoying from the very start. They really don't want to talk to her. They're walking and they're like, annoying person, 6 o'clock. They turn around and they're like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, we gotta go, important conversation. And she follows them. She has asthma though, so she didn't make it very far. I'm not sure asthma was the only thing holding her back.
Okay, so quick talk about Jasmine. I feel like we all have a Jasmine in our lives, and if we don't have a Jasmine, you are the Jasmine if you don't have Jasmine in your life. I know, I'm definitely the Jasmine.
Oh, no, you're not. I am, but, you know.
But yeah, I feel like everyone either has one or needs one.
It doesn't show them at the orientation, but on their way there, Monse keeps pestering them, and Jamal, which we're now starting to see, cannot keep a secret. He's like, no, I won't tell you, but he accidentally slips a little bit of information that Caesar said something to them, but she doesn't know what it is. So, as they're walking, they see Oscar's Paul car pull up in the street, so she walks in front of it like a crazy person, and, you know, she's like, hey, what's up? So, she walks to the car, and she's like, oh, I just wanted to tell Caesar that I'm back in town. And, also, you know, the whole car is like, why the heck would you?
I would like her to compliment her on her bravery. She literally went up to a gang leader and, like, had a full-on conversation with him. I would be peeing my pants if I did
And that. She walked right in front of their moving car.
Like,
but anyway.
That's terrifying. What's your take on that? Like, would you do that?
Not walk in front of a moving car. I don't know. But Caesar's in the car, and he's just kind of, he looks kind of guilty, to be honest. He's just sitting there. I don't really know what's happening.
Ooh,
but
what did he do?
We can tell there's something behind the scenes. Something that Caesar did, not the group. That's why they split up. But anyway, Oscar's like, hey, you look different. And, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, it's my boobs. And he's like, oh, no, you got your braces off. But, you know, that was just his humor because we both know what it all was. But
okay, back to that whole scenario about looking different. When she, like, comes back from mining camp, like, why are the people on her street so darn perverted?
Onward is over.
Like, literally. Can you not do that? But, I mean, I guess they do live in the hood, so I guess it's kind of expected. Still,
it is a little bit expected if you live in that kind of neighborhood.
True, true. Still, though. Ugh.
Yeah, and so it doesn't show them at the orientation, but right after, cut to the scene after they're walking, Ruby.
Okay, wait, before you get there, I just like to say, as they're, like, walking to the orientation, they see, like, another gang called the Prophets, and I just wanted to, like, pose this question. So the Prophets are, like, graffitiing a wall next to a dumpster, and as they're walking to their school, they're like, ooh, Prophets at 6 o'clock. And they tell Ruby to get rid of his colors. And he takes off his sweatshirt, which I'm kind of not understanding that. Because he was wearing a black sweatshirt. And the Prophets' colors are obviously green because, you know. So what's your take on that?
I don't know. I don't know what it was with that. I thought he was saying get rid of your colors. And since he was wearing a dark shirt, he was giving his jacket to Monse. That's what I thought he was doing. Because later you see Monse with the jacket draped around her shoulders. I'm kind of not sure about that, though.
Or maybe it was a dark green, and it just looked black on the camera. Because then, if it was, like, a dark green, they'd kind of think, you know, you're one of us, maybe? I don't know.
No.
Anyways.
But, yeah, so Jamal, you know, he's like, well, at least you still have your own room. No matter about my big mouth. You have your own room.
Oh, right? Before that, I should probably explain. As they're, like, I think they're walking back, right? From the orientation?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as they're walking back, they pass this apartment complex. And as they're passing, another guy, like, steps out of the apartment complex. And his name is Latrell. And he goes, like, hey, pay up, get your money out. And they put their hands up, and this is where we get a glimpse of Jamal's terrible secret-keeping abilities because they say they don't have any money, and then Jamal's like, what about that 20? So you have the 20 gold.
Yeah. They're walking back. Latrell is obviously part of the Prophets.
Honestly, what is the Prophets' obsession with green? Like, do all gangs have, like, their colors? Because the Santos, which is the Caesar and Spooky's gang, they don't have their colors.
They always wear gray or white tank tops, though, so I don't know.
Or do all gangs, like, have a thing? Like, the Santos thing is wearing shorts with, like, really long socks.
No. The Santos thing is the cross.
I thought it was the shorts with the really long socks.
Nope. It's the cross, and I guess...
Because doesn't the Santos translate to saints?
Yeah, it does. So the cross makes sense.
True.
The other gang.
And there's another gang that's green. Like 19th Street.
Yeah.
And as they're like walking to the orientation, they pass someone getting jumped into 19th Street. And I feel really bad for them because like they kind of treat it as like a normal everyday thing that they see. And I feel like that's kind of sad. Like kids shouldn't be around that kind of thing, you know?
Jumped into 19th Street or jumped into a gang? Because later...
Jumped into 19th Street because doesn't Jamal go like, why would anyone want to be jumped into 19th Street?
Oh, he does that?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's so sad that kids have... That they think that's so normal that they like kind of avoid it.
Anyway. So, they're walking back and Monse is pestering both of them. Tell them what Caesar did. And Jamal goes, we're not telling you what Caesar said. And she's like, ah, so they said something. And, you know, obviously that's one of the very many flaws of Jamal's secret keeping, right? So then Ruby gets mad and he's like, hey, at least you have your own room. That's what Jamal says. And Ruby's like, yeah. Flash forward to when they get home. Ruby doesn't have his own room anymore. Oh, no. He has to share it with his grandma because... his grandma's room, his abuelita, is flooded, and there might be mold, so he is asleep in the same room as mold. Her.
Also, while Ruby and like his mom are talking about his room situation, his abuelita has so many of like the, I think it's called nativity scene, like with the sheep and the Mary and stuff. Why does she need so many of those figurines?
I have no idea. I think, I don't know, she likes to keep her room decorated.
Need that many figurines?
I don't understand it.
So as Jamal and Monse are walking back, Monse goes to Caesar's house because she wants to find out for herself what really happened to make the gang split up. So, before Monse goes over to Caesar's house, Jamal warns her about, you know, safety, feminine safety, and basically that the new people he's hanging out with aren't the greatest. So,
but with the personality Monse has, she obviously just throws the jacket that he offers her back to him and, you know, storms up to their house, confronts Caesar. She's like, hey, we need to talk. And he's like, I'm listening. But, you know, there's all these gang members around. So she's like, privately? So he says, you know, we can go inside the house. And she's like, okay. She looks around. And then he's like, but if you want to sit on my face, you're going to have to shut that mouth of yours so I can concentrate.
Which, I mean, like, why would you ever say that? I think he was doing it to impress, like, the gang people.
Yeah, because after he gave one of the gang members a fist bump.
I feel like if you have to say that to impress your quote-unquote friends, then they aren't friends.
I don't think they're friends.
And also,
they're not friends.
And also, I just wanted to quickly talk about the double standards that, like, men and women have about, you know, sex. So, society basically has these double standards where they say that, oh, yeah, men can enjoy sex, whereas women are, like, almost punished. Like, not physically punished, but, like, socially punished for it. You get me?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, oh, if you make a sex joke as a man, like, I don't know, you having a lot of sex, Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, bros, yeah, oh man, I get you, I feel you. As a woman, it's kind of like not what
Yeah, people you do, are like disgusted by you.
Which I think is why it's only the guys who are saying, that's what she said.
Probably.
You know. But anyway, yeah. So he gets a fist bump. And, you know, Monse is like, what the heck? Why would you say that? So she storms home. She storms out of the place. Walks home with Jamal. And she's like, Caesar is dead to me. And he's like, we told you. And that's kind of where the first half ends.
So, general thoughts. What are your general thoughts about this half of the episode?
I think there's something more to Caesar's story. He wouldn't just say that. Because in the beginning, he says, like, loyalty's more important than winning. And he wouldn't just be, like, unloyal. Because saying that, I think that was kind of just, oh, like, a breach.
Is that what it means? Loyalty trumps victory?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Oh,
yeah,
I thought exactly he was referring to, like, President Trump.
Oh, no. Loyalty trumps victory. No. Yeah, that's what he was saying. And he was, like, that, saying that to Monse, one of his so-called friends, or I guess not anymore because the group split, that was kind of, like, a real breach. And I think something had to happen, you know, for him to say something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, my thoughts, I thought it was a pretty great start to, like, the season, or seasons, and I feel like it's a solid beginning, and, like, they laid out the character storylines perfectly, we got introduced to the characters, and I feel like it was a very thought-out beginning, and we can also see that, like, great writing in the future seasons that come after this episode.
Okay, so we're going to talk about more of the minor characters, because this has been, like, about most of the major characters. What are your thoughts on Jasmine?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Jasmine. I don't know. Part of me wants to say that she's amazing, but part of me, 75% of me, is saying, no, avoid her. Like, I wouldn't want someone like that. I feel like she has good intentions and she just wants to be nice and be everyone's friend, but I feel like she's one of those people that comes off a little too strong. You feel me?
I think she's obsessed with them. You know, I don't know, but like the way she's like blah blah, you know, hey, like instantly perks up. You know what I mean?
I feel like in the later she wants to fit in with them.
Yeah, I think in the later stories, though, I think, like, later in the episodes, we might find that it's something a little more than just wanting to be their friend.
Oh, definitely. Especially when she gets with Ruby.
Okay, moving on. Oscar, what's your opinion on him?
Okay, so in the first episode, I feel like he's made out to be, like, this, ooh, this scary, strong guy that everyone is afraid of. But, like, later in... I think it's chapter 7 is when we really get to see his backstory. Like, he wanted to be the chef, he wanted to be this great guy, but because he was raising Caesar and he had to, like, step up to be the gang leader, he couldn't do any of that. So I feel like in the first episode, he's made out to be this scary creature, but as we learn more of his backstory, I think he's actually a pretty great guy. And what he did for Caesar was pretty awesome.
I think it was chapter 17.
17? That's in season 2.
Yes, I know.
Chapter 7.
Teen. Anyway, yeah, but in the first episode, he really is kind of the guy that everyone makes out to him. He seems really intimidating. You know what I mean? Like, even Monse, even though she was really defiant, she kind of seemed like she had, like, a tiny bit hint of fear, because obviously he's a gang leader.
But
you know
what
I mean?
His eyebrows are on point, man. And that eyebrow action, he got game.
Did you notice the little teardrop tattoo on his face?
Yeah, but I've always wondered, like, because a lot of gang leaders actually have that. Is it, like, the lives he's taken?
I have no idea, actually.
Because I noticed that, like, some gang leaders have, like, 2, some have 3. So is it, like, the amount of lives they've taken?
I have no idea. None whatsoever. Moving on, Latrell, part of the Prophet's gang. I think he's gonna be important in the story.
He looks like a hobo. I'm just gonna say that up front. He looks like a hobo.
Yeah, but like, did you notice how the other prophets, when they passed by them, they didn't really, like, interact with them, like, go straight up to them, you know what I mean, demand the money. Well, Latrell, he literally went straight up to that group, their group, you know what I mean? So
is
I think it's something...
Is he the leader of the prophets?
I don't know, actually.
I actually don't think so, because in, I think it was the last episode of season two, where Caesar, like, goes with the money strapped to him. I think he talks to the leader of the game.
I don't think Latrell's the leader.
He's probably, like, second to the leader, though. Kind of like president, vice president, type of thing.
I think he's up there, maybe not second or third, but, you know, somewhere.
He wants to be cool, and so he's, like, acting like he's cool, but he's coming off way too strong.
Moving on, what about Mario? I actually really like his character, even though he's not really in it much. But what do you think of him?
Honestly, I think that you're right. He doesn't appear much in the seasons, but I feel like he provides the slightest bit of comic relief. Jamal and Jasmine, I feel like, provide the most comic relief, but Mario does sometimes, like, in the parts that he is in it.
I think he's comical, but I think he can also be serious, you know what I mean? Because, like, he seemed pretty serious about losing Angelica, he seemed a little bit heartbroken, and in that time it was, like, comical, but I think later he might come back or something, and it'll be a little bit more heartfelt, because you know how he was, like, take care of Ruby for me?
Yeah.
I think he really cares about his family, so, like, he might come back, you know what I mean, and he'll be a little bit more of a deep character, because what he was saying when he was high was deep, but, you know, the fact that he was high made it a little bit comical, you know what I mean?
So, speaking of family, when Mario does start his own family in season two, he does actually get pretty serious about that.
Yes,
and he, like,
but
genuinely wants to help Amber.
More of that later.
So now about Ruby's mom, what do you think of her?
We really haven't seen much of her. I don't know. She seems a little bit strict, but, like, kind of a nice person. Just like a mom in general, actually. You know what I mean? She has to have her...
stereotypical mom.
Yes, seriously. I think she's just, like, the mother figure and all of it. What about his abuelita?
Oh, do I have some things to say about that abuelita? So, in the first episode, she's not really, like, present that much. She just has a weird fetish with baby Jesus figurines. But in the later seasons, we actually find out that she is very, very, not abuelita-ish. So what is your take on the abuelita?
We don't really know much about her, except she has a lot of nativity scene decorations.
She probably has a fetish with baby Jesus figurines, let's be honest.
I really don't know what's up with that. But I don't know, maybe she'll come in more in the later seasons, you know, no spoiling or anything. Just a guess.
In the later seasons, though, she is wild and not abuelita-ish at all.
Yeah, she seems like, you know, I think her main purpose is to go against, like, the old grandma stereotype, you know what I mean?
True. What other minor characters are there?
What about the twins? We only see them for half a second, but...
Oh my god, ew. The twins. they're basically typical six-year-olds.
Yeah, they're...
Boogers and... Okay, let's not talk about the twins. Oh my god.
Yeah, so...
What's your opinion on the twins?
Well, speaking that Ruby would rather share a room with his abuelita than the twins, I'd say they're pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next week for the second half of season 1, episode 1.